Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
It's Film Week on KPCC. I'm Larry Mantle. Hope you have a wonderful Memorial weekend that's getting underway. Turn our attention now to the USC Annenberg Inclusion Initiative, which last week released a report documenting the prevalence of Asian and Pacific Islanders in on- and off-screen roles across the top-grossing films each year from 2007 to 2019. SC Annenberg found that of 1,300 films examined, only 44 featured Asian and Pacific Islander actors playing lead roles, nearly a third of which were played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Joining us to talk about other findings in the study is Professor Nancy Wong Yoon, Professor of Sociology at Biola University in La Mirada. She's co-author of The Prevalence and Portrayal of Asian and Pacific Islanders Across 1,300 Popular Films. Professor Yoon, thank you for being with us today.
I'm thrilled to be here, Larry.
So share with us what this shows about any of the trends in the shorter term. Are things getting better with the high visibility of movies like Parasite, for example, or Minari?
Yeah, so we looked at top grossing films, and Parasite did fall into that, but Minari didn't. So we were looking at Hollywood studios who are willing to invest, you know, lots of money, big budgets into films that have Asian and Pacific Islander leads. And what we found is that even with the, I think, more prominent, I think, Oscar-winning, Oscar-nominated roles for Asian and Pacific Islanders, overall, the representation is still lacking, both in terms of numbers and in terms of stereotyping.
Is it skewed because they are larger box office films? Do we tend to see less diverse films generally with the bigger box office films, instead of many of those in more independent productions?
I think so, in terms of reach and, you know, the smaller films, we talk about them, maybe critics talk about them and award shows, but they're not reaching as many people in terms of distribution, in terms of marketing. People don't know Minari as much as they know something like Marvel.
All right. And what about behind the scenes? What do we see in directors, screenwriters, and other very important craft positions in filmmaking?
Yeah, so the numbers are even much worse behind the scenes. When Asians and Pacific Islanders make up over 7% of the U.S. population, we're seeing only about 3% behind the scenes. So specifically, we looked at directors, producers, and casting directors. And this underrepresentation leads to fewer authentic Asian and Pacific Islander stories that actually reflect our lived experiences.
Also joining us is KPCC Film Week critic and Los Angeles Times film critic Justin Chang. You hear him on Fresh Air here on noon at KPCC. Justin, thanks very much for joining us. What are your thoughts about the trends you see in Asian and Asian American and Pacific Islander actors?
Yeah, thank you for having me, Larry, and hi, Professor Yoon. I just have to say I'm really grateful to her and her colleagues for their work on this study, because there really is something very stark about seeing the data laid out like this. I mean, my experience of watching movies week in and week out, you know, I don't crunch the numbers, but you don't have to know that Asians are underrepresented in Hollywood movies, in front of the camera, behind the camera. If you watch enough movies, whether as I do as a critic or just as a regular moviegoer, you start to notice inequities of all kinds in terms of race and also, of course, gender and sexuality, disability. But yeah, I mean, I just was looking at this as like, I mean, thank God for Dwayne Johnson. I love and never get tired of watching Dwayne Johnson. But even without him, I mean, how much worse would this picture look? I mean, that is just incredibly sad, I think, that he's such the exception and not the rule. And speaking of that, I mean, I completely concur with what you're saying about how it's heartening. I look for, you know, I'm heartened by what's happening in the independent sphere. I think the independent sphere is always ahead of the mainstream in terms of representation and inclusion. I think the fact that we are coming off a watershed year with films like Minari and even Nomadland, which, while not featuring Asian actors in front of the camera, was directed by Chloe Zhao, who's Chinese and who became the first woman of color to win an Oscar for Best Director. This was a strange year, of course, where, you know, independent movies that normally don't get that kind of attention did get that kind of attention. And I think that's instructive. I think that the industry can learn something from that because it does present a more equitable picture.
You know, in the past, even early in American cinema, Justin, we had Asian American stars. I'm thinking of, you know, Anna Mae Wong, Merle Oberon, although her South Asian ancestry, she didn't disclose, came up with a fictitious childhood to keep that from the public. Of course, Bruce Lee, who becomes a big star in the 1970s. But, you know, it seems like there's one or two at a time throughout the history. There's really, except for some of the all Asian American films that were very early in cinema, we didn't have wide box office movies where there's much Asian American representation at all.
Right, very true. And I think that the ones who do make it, tend to, you know, we could talk about, you know, someone like Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee, you know, they tend to, you know, their representations are so important and so heartening, I think, to so many people, whether it's like me as a kid growing up watching those movies or watching Hong Kong action movies, for example, that come and that sort of grip mainstream attention. But they also do end up, I think, drawing very clear limits sometimes, right? It becomes a typecasting thing, a stereotyping thing, as if that's all of who we are. And so it's, even though with those examples, I'm grateful for those examples, it's they tend to be as narrowing sometimes as they are expansive.
Talking about Jackie Chan, of course, a huge star in his movie Prime. Let's listen to this scene from Rush Hour in which Chan's character speaks English for the first time, surprising the character played by Chris Tucker.
Get out of the car! Get out of the car now! Where you think you're going, huh? Didn't I tell you to stay over there by the Duke?
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
This is my own business, old man. Stay in the car. I was just trying to find out where you was going, man. You thought I was going to shoot you? I wanted to go with you.
Hey, what's happening here?
Put the gun down. Put the gun down. I ain't playing with you, man. You think I'm playing with you?
Don't move. Drop your guns.
Hey, man. Look, FBI.
I'm policeman. I'm just showing him how to take a gun from a suspect.
To the surprise of Chris Tucker that Jackie Chan's character speaks English in the film. You know, Justin, Chan is such a breakthrough star that why do you think we haven't had other Asian actors or Asian American actors who, if not reaching Chan's heights, at least, you know, given the opportunity to play lead roles as he was?
Gosh, I mean, there's just, I don't know. I mean, these are systemic issues. I think that I don't have an easy answer for that, Larry. I mean, I just think that you know, we could ask why there haven't been why Hollywood and the images that Hollywood puts out are still so overwhelmingly white and male. I mean, I think it's just, you know, you look at the people who are making the decisions and people who gravitate toward people who look like them. I mean, this is a very natural, instinctive human thing. And I think it takes effort to work against that and to be intentional about who you hire. And as Professor Yun was saying, that starts with storytellers before it even starts with actors, I think. But, you know, I just have to say, I was looking at back at this thing that we did in the LA Times a few years ago about finding a canon of Asian American films, because what that even looks like has been very nebulous, I think, for a lot of us. We've sort of given up looking to Hollywood for that. But what are the Asian American independent movies that really stand the test of time? And, you know, we came up with a list of things like Better Luck Tomorrow, The Farewell, which was not that long ago, but is still a terrific movie that was, you know, very important. And I think it's, and actually Crazy Rich Asians made the list too. I mean, that's, you know, obviously the big Hollywood milestone of recent years. So, you look at actors like Henry Golding, you look at actors like Steven Yeun in Minari and in other films. I think I'm heartened that we will maybe see another actor. Maybe it's not, I hope it's not another Jackie Chan, because God knows he-
One of a kind.
Exactly. We need other examples of representation besides just martial arts stars.
Yeah, there is no mold for a Jackie Chan and his talents. We'll continue our conversation with Biola University Professor of Sociology, Nancy Wong Yoon, and LA Times and Fresh Air critic Justin Chang. We'll be back in a minute on Film Week. It's Film Week. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us. We're talking about the study that was released last week by USC Annenberg's Inclusion Initiative, looking at over the past 12 years, the representation of Asian American and Pacific Islander actors, as well as those using their talents behind the camera. We're talking with Professor Nancy Wong Yoon of Biola University in La Mirada. She co-authored the SC Annenberg Report, and LA Times and Fresh Air and Film Week critic Justin Chang joining us as well. Justin just mentioned the 2019 critically acclaimed drama The Farewell, starring Awkwafina. Let's hear from it.
Manan is dying.
She has a stage 4 lung cancer. The doctor says she has 3 months. Could be faster, you never know.
I need to call her.
You can't do that.
I need to go see her.
You can't do that.
She doesn't know. The family thinks it's better not to tell her, so you can't say anything.
I don't understand. She doesn't have a lot of time left. She should know, right?
There's nothing they can do. So everyone decided it's better not to tell her.
Why is that better?
Chinese people have saying, when people get cancer, they die. It's not the cancer that kills them. It's the fear.
From 2019's The Farewell, starring Awkwafina, critically acclaimed and very popular film. Professor Yoon, let's talk a bit about how Hollywood could diversify and find the talents behind and in front of the camera to represent more API people in the creative arts. You know, given particularly with studios' efforts to, you know, sell films and get them seen in China and other Asian countries, this would seem to be a good business decision to not only represent the diversity of Americans, but the markets and where they're trying to get their movies shown. So does the report make any recommendations of how to do that?
Yeah, so something like The Farewell and Lulu Wang, I mean, this is authentic storytelling, and we need more of that, right? And at the same time, it is tricky, I think, to try to get a global market when, you know, these are Asian American stories, and sometimes they don't translate as well as we want. But then at the same time, we look at a movie like Mulan, where, you know, Disney was trying to get the Chinese market by hiring a Chinese actress, but then the director is not Chinese. And I think a lot of the storytelling and authenticity was critiqued by Chinese audiences. And so it's, it feels like they're not, they haven't figured out the formula yet. And I think that what we recommend is that it's really important to hire Asian and Pacific Islander storytellers behind the scenes. And when it's only like 3% behind the scenes, we really have a long ways to go.
What about the the roles off and the portrayals that Asian American actors play, because you know, we tend to think of stereotyping as being more common in the past. Of course it was, but it persists. And how does this study detail that?
Well, we found that in 2019, 67% of the Asian and Pacific Islanders characters fell into some sort of stereotype trope. So whether it was hypersexualized women, emasculated men, perpetual foreigner, victims of racist slurs, and even violent deaths. In fact, more than 25% of Asian and Pacific Islander characters died by the end of their films, and all but one died violently. And this is really concerning given the increase in anti-Asian violence and racism in U.S. society currently.
We're talking with Biola University Professor of Sociology, Nancy Wong Yoon. She's co-author of the USC Annenberg study that came out last week on the dramatic underrepresentation of Asians, Asian American, and Pacific Islander actors and others in the film industry. And Film Week, Fresh Air, and LA Times film critic Justin Chang joining us. Justin, for you, you've really been a champion of many, you know, great Asian and Asian American themed films. What is the role of the critic in this process?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, to what Professor Yoon and you were saying about some of these movies, I don't like to call them smaller movies, but let's call them what they are, you know, movies from outside the US or American independent movies that feature more more diverse storytelling. Those are the movies I get excited to write about, especially the good ones, because I don't want to just boost movies just because of that, because that becomes a kind of tokenism on my part. But because these are really terrific movies that fly under the radar. I mean, that's just sort of the joy of the job. And I find myself, sometimes I feel like I could do more, because sometimes my own sense of, okay, what are, you know, the great Asian American films that are out there. And by the way, I don't want to limit myself to that. As a critic, I delight in being able to write about a wide spectrum of movies made by people who look like me, who don't look like me.
And to champion many of those films that you think are great movies. I didn't mean to imply you only champion.
Oh, God, no, not at all. That's just me just checking myself for whoever may be listening, you know, but absolutely. And to call out the bad ones. Absolutely. I mean, that is part of the joy of being a critic as well. But, you know, I was a huge champion of Parasite, which I thought was a great movie. And it was just thrilling to see that get the attention it deserved. The year before that, I was also an equally big champion of Burn, a great Korean film that got, you know, a fraction of the attention commercially as that one. And that just, sometimes I feel like, what am I, you know, what impact do I have? I try not to think about it in those terms, because ultimately it is just about writing about what I like and what I really think.
But
like,
it shows,
it's nice to see.
That still today, when we think of critics, I'm sorry to say this, as not having maybe as much influence as in the past, that they still are very influential when it comes to films that might be lost otherwise. I also wanted to ask you, you know, Justin, about, because you're friends with the writer director of Minari, and I know you talk in depth with other filmmakers. Are there additional challenges for Asian American filmmakers in getting attention for their films?
Yeah, I think so. And sometimes these discussions about representation, about inclusivity, and are really useful and important. And in a weird way, they can also be kind of distracting, I think, because it's like you always feel like you always have to tie back the movie to the issue. The movie can't be considered apart from its representational value. And it's so there's sort of like a catch-22 in there. Yeah. I think that sometimes the conversation itself, I'm not denigrating the conversation. It's important and it's very necessary. But I think we'll know we've made some progress when there truly is just, this is no big deal. This is just another movie that just happens to, you know, feature non-white actors.
And the attention is all on the product itself. Absolutely. Thank you so much, Justin. Great to talk with you again, as always. And Professor Nancy Wong Yoon of Biola University in La Mirada, Professor of Sociology and co-author of the S.C. Annenberg study that we're talking about. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you for joining us for Film Week on KPCC.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.